Gentlemen Prefer Birds. Written by Suzuki Blue and read by K-Burb. This is a DC fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationships between Clark Kent and Kal-El, with background Tim Drake / Kal-El. This is part two of A Fake Cryptid and a Real Romantic. Clark hears a sudden rush of air and a thrumming, not quite human heartbeat, and is therefore unsurprised when Superboy pops up over the side of the Metropolis rooftop he's sitting on the ledge of and grins up at him. The kid always seems to be in a good mood, but is clearly in an even better one than usual. "Guess what?" Superboy greets gleefully, pushing himself up on the ledge, too.
"What?"
Clark asks, smiling wryly at him. The kid just gets so enthusiastic so easily. It's kind of funny, to be honest. "I got a date," Superboy says delightedly, plopping into a seat beside him and kicking his legs excitedly as he does. "Robin said I could go hunting with him in Gotham this weekend."
"You're going to hang out, you mean?"
Clark corrects kindly, since Superboy still has a notably skewed education and concept of correct terminology, and probably calling working with another vigilante a date without knowing what that actually means isn't going to end well for the kid in the long run. Especially since Robin isn't actually an aspect of Gotham like the Batman is, and would definitely be confused by it. Admittedly, the Batman gets confused by some very straightforward things himself, but still. "Hang out," Superboy repeats, cocking his head with a slightly puzzled expression that almost immediately clears into another excited grin. "That, yeah. I caught Catwoman breaking into some fancy cat exhibit in Gotham and dropped her off for him, and he was into it. And I gave him a diamond, and he liked that, too."
"A diamond?"
Clark blinks. He really hopes Catwoman didn't manage to be that bad of an influence on the kid in one meeting, but he wouldn't put it past her. Superboy's impressionable, and Catwoman is, well, Catwoman.
Where'd you get that?"
"I made it," Superboy says proudly, puffing himself up as he mimes the act of crushing something in his fist.
"All right, then,"
Clark thinks, mildly bewildered. He has no idea why Superboy would make a diamond, much less give it to Robin. But the kid gets weird ideas into his head sometimes, and he supposes it would have been good practice for controlling his strength to very specific levels of pressure, so he's not going to say anything about it.
"Did you?"
he asks, figuring he should keep the conversation going. Superboy is a strange kid, but he's eager and has a good heart and always soaks up attention like a sponge. So Clark always tries to talk to the kid at least a little whenever they run into each other or the other finds him. "I figured Robin'd like it," Superboy says reasonably, kicking his feet again. "Birds like shiny stuff, and he's kinda a bird, right?" Clark is going to assume that Tim Drake more appreciated the expensive gemstone than the shiny stuff, assuming a teenage boy would even care about anything like that anyway, but he doesn't want to rain on Superboy's parade. Honestly, he's just glad the kid's finally trying to make a friend or two in the community who isn't wearing an ass. It never hurts to have a little backup on call, or to have a confidant who understands the life around, either. Clark's not actually certain what the Batman's latest Robin's policy on maintaining his secret identity among the larger hero community is. Even Dick still typically presents himself as a city splinter, just of Bloodhaven instead of Gotham now. But even if he keeps passing for a cryptid with Superboy for a little while longer, it's not like Superboy's had a normal life experience. He's not going to be bothered that he can't talk about girls and homework with his new friend first thing. Not that Superboy has homework, just it's the principle of the thing. Although Clark has been vaguely dreading the possibility of Superboy eventually deciding to come to him to talk about girls, because he has absolutely no idea how to talk to anyone about girls, much less an impressionable teenager who's guaranteed to hang on his every word for the whole conversation, and take everything he says as gospel while also misunderstanding at least half of it, judging by most of their previous conversations. He hasn't even been able to figure out how to give the kid the Kryptonian version of the talk, though, much less if it's actually applicable to him. Relationship issues and dating are a whole other kettle of fish. Well, with any luck, Superboy will stay too young for that kind of thing for a little while longer, Clark hopes half-heartedly. Just, please? Maybe, he says diplomatically, figuring that's the best he can offer without compromising any of Robin's secrets. The Batman wouldn't appreciate it. He's protective like that, especially since what happened to poor Jason. Or, it's protective like that. There? Clark considers it, then just decides to stick with he, as he has several times now. The Batman doesn't seem to understand the concept of gendered pronouns either way, but his human aspect is almost always a man. Or, Clark's pretty sure it is, anyway. He supposes the Batwoman might be a separate splinter from the Batman, but he's still unclear on that, honestly. And he hardly ever sees her, either, and definitely hasn't seen them together, so... Well, it's complicated, but so are most things about the Batman. Though he lets Clark call him Bruce now, which is nice, and he even let Dick teach him how to summon him a few years back, it makes him feel like they're actual friends. A little. Clark isn't any kind of human himself, no matter how he feels, so it's nice, not always having to mask that fact with everyone he knows. The Batman does always seem to think it's ridiculous the times he's summoned him just to hang out, but he doesn't usually leave either, so Clark thinks he doesn't mind it. And as for Superboy making friends with Robin, well, Superboy could use some human friends, in his case. Robin's so cool. It's gonna be awesome going hunting with him. Superboy rhapsodizes happily, beaming in obvious delight at the idea. Clark wonders if he should have tried to encourage Superboy to make friends sooner, given how happy he clearly is about the idea of just hanging out for one patrol. Or one hunt? Dick and Jason used to call patrol hunting, too, so no surprise Tim's both picked that habit up and passed it on himself. Do you think I should bring him another diamond? I don't really know how to make anything that it matches colors yet. I'm working on rubies, but they're still not good enough. I can never get the color right, you know?
I'm sure you'll figure it out, Clark says, a little perplexed.
Well, he supposes making gemstones is technically a creative hobby. Not much different than a human making lab-grown gems or making something out of clay for them. It sounds odd, but Superboy would just be firing and shaping the stones, really, so... Well, Superboy definitely needs hobbies that aren't related to either superheroics or media attention, so Clark decides to leave it for now. As long as the kid doesn't accidentally destroy the diamond industry, it'll be fine. The diamond industry isn't exactly ethical, anyway, so... Well, it could be worse. I'm practicing Trilliant Cuts, Superboy says a little shyly. Because they look a little like the S-Shield, if you do them right. Do you think he'd like that, maybe?
If he likes you, he'll like anything you bring him, Clark reassures him, giving him a gently encouraging smile. You don't need to overcompensate.
Gifting a new friend multiple diamonds is definitely overcompensating, especially at Superboy's age. But he also doesn't want to discourage the kid developing hobbies or finding a creative outlet or anything like that. So he figures he can avoid saying that directly and sort of just ease him into that realization on his own. Robin's a good kid. Clark's sure he won't take advantage while Superboy's figuring things out on the friend-making front. You think? Superboy says, flushing a little and ducking his head. Because Catwoman said that jewelry was better than loose stones. But I don't know if she meant I should try harder or... Catwoman might be a little biased, Clark replies diplomatically, wondering how to politely phrase, Catwoman isn't really the person you want to emulate either here or ever at any point in your life. The Batman has shown up to more than one Justice League meeting covered in cat-themed jewelry without seeming to be aware of that fact, and it's just a lot to approach as a topic.
She does specialize in jewelry.
Right, Superboy says, looking thoughtful. And like, I know she's technically human, but she's still kind of cat-ish. And Robin's a bird, kinda, so they probably wouldn't have the same taste anyway, right? Clark really isn't sure why Superboy seems so concerned about the bird thing as opposed to just making a friend the normal way by bonding over uncovering injustices and the pursuit of truth and partaking in either aggressive investigative journalism or dubiously legal vigilanteism together. But admittedly, Superboy might not know how to make a friend the normal way, so that might be playing into this. Probably not, no, he says, because ignoring the cat and bird theming, Selina Kyle is a grown woman and a professional criminal who likes to flirt with cryptids. And Tim Drake is a teenage boy who mostly seems to subsist on banned energy drinks and obsessive detective work, and has occult runes scratched into the bottom of his skateboard, and has a vested interest in purifying the Batman's more vengeful tendencies. So they're not really coming from the same place there. Clark doesn't exactly understand how it works, but at this point, he's pretty sure Robins are just kind of like filters in the metaphorical aquarium that is Gotham. He'd be more concerned about putting that role on a kid, but no Robin has ever gotten seriously hurt inside Gotham. Jason had to go all the way to Ethiopia to die, and even then it took getting beaten with a crowbar, blown up, and suffocated under a collapsed and burning building. Awful a thought as it is. The Robins have all been normal boys, of course, but Gotham isn't normal about them. And the Batman definitely isn't. I think I'm going to try making him a ruby and do that in a Trilliant cut, Superboy says decisively. Which isn't necessarily much progress towards typical friend-making behaviors. But again, Clark doesn't want to discourage either a hobby or a creative outlet for the kid. Or just literally anything that isn't about being a superhero. Even if the Trilliant cut resembling the S-Shield and making friends with a vigilante are only sort of not about being a superhero. Look. The kid's 6 months old and was educated by ethically bankrupt scientists and absolutely exhausted grad school interns, absolutely none of whom had either normal childhoods or an interest in instilling any semblance of normal in their clone Superman's head. Clark's not going to be picky here. He's just gonna meet him where he's at and go from there. Superboy has some unfortunate difficulties understanding the difference between celebrity attention versus genuine admiration, and things like that. And also has an unfortunate tendency towards causing a lot of unnecessary property damage and jumping to conclusions and temper issues. But he tries, and he clearly does think about things. There's just a lot to figure out in the world, and he's had to do it in speedrun mode while being an active superhero. Really, Clark thinks the kid's doing a lot better as a superhero than he would have done at his age. And he'd actually been that age. Superboy is frankly just about the best case scenario that could have come out of a situation like Cadmus, and also mercifully only seems to be minimally traumatized by the sorry excuse for a childhood he was provided. So, that sounds nice, Clark says, smiling at him. I'm sure you'll do a good job with it. I'm gonna do a good job with it if it fucking kills me, Superboy says, looking determined, which seems like a lot of intensity to put into making a gift for a friend, but again, 6 months old and educated by ethically bankrupt scientists. Clark is going to stick with the meeting him where he's at approach. Just do your best to start, maybe, he says wryly, reaching over to pat the kid's shoulder. Superboy grins at him, his expression turning pleased. I will, he says. Want to see some of the test ones? Sure, Clark says, figuring Superboy is just going to show him a couple of pictures on his phone or... Nope, no. Superboy just immediately stuck both hands into his jacket pocket and came up with two big fistfuls of a good dozen high-quality diamonds done in Trillient Cut. Very large diamonds.
Heavens to Betsy,
Clark thinks a little faintly.
That is so many diamonds for Superboy to just have in his pockets. They weren't even zipped shut. They weren't even buttoned.
Superboy lays his series of diamonds all out in neat little rows on the ledge between them, because there are enough of them to require multiple rows, and then reaches back into his pockets for a few more, because of course there are. Clark continues to feel vaguely faint and has absolutely no idea how to point out how much money this is. Even at lab diamond rates, this is so much money. Just so much. At this point in his life, Clark has seen entire planets made of diamond, mine, but he still grew up in small town Kansas as a farm kid, so there is something about seeing quite this many virtually flawless ones just laid out on a metropolis rooftop, the same way he would have shown off his POG collection to his friends as a kid. Even the damn cuts are just shy of perfect. Well, at least Superboy's enjoying his first hobby, he supposes. But also, Jesus H. Christ. They look good, kid, Clark says, smiling at him encouragingly while he's trying not to fall off the roof. No need to take the wind out of Superboy's sails, obviously. Though, seeing them now, it does occur to him to wonder, where did you get the tools? They must be high-quality ones. Because honestly, he really wasn't expecting results this good, or even half this good, from a six-month-old teenager. Superboy could definitely ruin De Beers' day with those. Or their industry, again. Well, it is De Beers, so... Oh, I didn't have any, Superboy says, shaking his head. I just use my TTK. Clark pauses for a moment. Clark pauses for a long moment. Tactile telekinesis can cut diamond, he asks carefully. This precisely? Yeah, Superboy beams proudly at him. Cool, right? Clark looks very, very closely at the diamonds. The cuts on them are practically atom sharp.
All right, then.
He thinks to himself even more carefully. Very cool, he agrees slowly. Has that been helping with your fine motor control, then? Oh, I guess, Superboy says, looking like the idea has never once occurred to him. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. They're just practice runs, you know? I'll get better. Clark considers asking what Superboy intends to do with a dozen plus practice diamonds this size, then decides it might be better for his rural upbringing to just not know. Ever. I'm sure you will, he says, smiling encouragingly at him again, though he cannot imagine what better is going to look like in this situation. Terrifying, maybe. Weird and terrifying, and enough to make every single De Beers executive ever born have a nervous breakdown? Well, that could be worse, admittedly. Yeah? Superboy asks, beaming proudly as he leans a little closer towards him. Clark really doesn't think he's very good at... Well, he's not mentoring Superboy, really, and the kid definitely isn't a sidekick either, or a... whatever the Batman actually thinks his Robins are, exactly, but Clark is just trying to be at least a good example for the kid, and to keep a bit of an eye on him at the same time. Provide him with some attention that doesn't come from a fan or cape chaser or a supervillain, and back him up if he gets in over his head. Clark's just not naturally inclined to this, it feels like. He doesn't think he's a natural teacher, maybe. Or maybe just a natural whatever Superboy is looking for in him, exactly. He thinks the kid might just want a friend, but that doesn't exactly feel like enough. Still, Superboy's a good kid, so it's hardly an imposition to talk to him when he shows up and try to give him a little support. It's even nice, sometimes. Clark's gotten used to people being inspired by him in both good and bad ways, but Superboy is just so, he doesn't know, so enthusiastic and keen and sincere about it. Different, somehow, from May and John Henry. Superboy just isn't the same thing as Supergirl or Steel. Not better, obviously, but different, yes. Definitely, Clark confirms. I've made diamonds a couple of times just to see how it worked, but I never really got the hang of cuts. And you got both the clarity and color very high quality, especially for their sizes. The cuts are all very good to ideal, and he doesn't know if Superboy actually knows anything about clarity or color grades. But he's personally pretty sure there's not a single diamond here below either WS1 or G. And frankly, he wouldn't know the difference if he didn't have supervision and a lot of experience in catching jewel thieves and identifying forgeries on the fly. Superboy visibly preens, bobbing up higher over the ledge and grinning wider at him. He looks the most pleased Clark's ever seen him without successful superheroics being involved. Cool, he says, clearly trying to, well, play it cool, though he's still grinning. Can you cut diamonds with heat vision? Is that what you did? Well, I tried, Clark says wryly. Didn't always end well. When heat vision hits an impurity in a gemstone, well, it tends to burst. So that's not ideal, obviously. Like they explode? Superboy demands, looking delighted. Sick. Probably not as dramatically as you're thinking, but a little bit, Clark says, trying not to laugh. So that could have gone better. If I ever get heat vision, first thing I'm going to do is blow up a diamond. Superboy swears with malicious glee. And Clark laughs after all. Just be careful it doesn't fracture the beam, he advises. That's also a thing that can happen. Sick, Superboy repeats, looking even more delighted. That's one way to put it, Clark says, giving him an amused look and making a mental note to maybe keep an eye on how Superboy's powers develop, just in case. Because, the fractured heat vision thing is a concern, yes. He's definitely going to have to keep an eye on how Superboy's powers develop. A very close eye. No pun intended, what with the whole heat vision thing. So I was thinking, I should try and get a new jacket or something to go hunting with Robin, Superboy says musingly, settling back down in his seat and kicking his feet against the side of the building idly. But like, would that look like I'm too much of a tryhard, do you think? It takes all of Clark's alien super strength not to point out that gifts of customized, handcrafted, telekinetically cut gemstones are probably likelier to come off as a tryhard than showing up in a different jacket, but he manages it. I don't think you need to dress up for patrol, he says diplomatically. You never know when you're going to run into a murderous crocodile man or get dunked in acid by a mass murderer who you lost a coin toss to, for one thing. Oh yeah, it is Gotham, Superboy muses. Maybe I'll just get a new earring or something like that. Something shiny, you know? So Robin will like it. That sounds less likely to get shot up or dunked in a sewer, Clark says wryly, figuring it's a decent enough compromise. Superboy is definitely overthinking this, given it's just hanging out for patrol. But given it's probably the kid's first time hanging out with a new friend like this, Clark's not exactly surprised. Superboy really must be overthinking if he thinks Robin will care how he looks, though. Yeah, that makes sense. Superboy agrees, still looking thoughtful as he tugs distractedly at his earring, then shrugs and floats up above the ledge again. I'm gonna go looking then, see what I can find. Maybe get a couple different ones, so I have some options. That makes sense, Clark says with another encouraging smile. It's still definitely Superboy overthinking the situation, but the kid's clearly doing his best here, so he's not going to say so and risk making himself conscious. Oh, don't forget your, diamonds. Oh, I don't need them, Superboy replies cheerfully, flying up a little higher and hovering overhead. You can have them if you want. Or just leave them. Whatever. Sure, thanks, Clark says, heroically not letting his inner Kansas farm boy disassociate. Superboy grins at him, then waves and zips off towards the horizon with a quick, thanks, man. Clark keeps not dissociating, though it takes a moment to be sure he won't. Then he gathers up Superboy's abandoned diamonds in the bottom of his cape, because God forbid he leave. How much is this in diamonds? This is so much in diamonds. Just lying around on a random metropolis rooftop. That just seems like asking for trouble, really. Well, at least Superboy's finally made a friend. And Clark doesn't think he's accidentally influenced the kid into doing anything weird or socially oblivious this time, so that's all right, then. Probably. And he's got a good feeling about this conversation compared to some of the others they've had, if nothing else. Maybe he'll get the hang of this mentoring thing yet, he thinks, looking after the kids retreating back high up in the sky. At least before he has to summon the Batman for advice about it, anyway. The end.